Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. TGIF, Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. And it is going to be a fun Friday, as always, because we're making some football picks. We're getting you ready for a football weekend. Max Power is in. He's on the IHOP hotline. Brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves. All your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. We also will give away some HTO later in the program. We'll bring in our pals Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage to make some football picks this weekend. You can leave us your comments and commentary on our video streams at Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. That's all available for you. We appreciate you watching on 12 News Connected Plus as well. All kinds of good stuff for you, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday. I know that we're getting ready for a big football weekend, and I'm sure our show will be dominated by that today. But how about some playoff baseball last night? That was so much fun to watch both games. Well, I mean, you know, obviously the Dodgers and Mets was kind of a blowout, but it was, you know, an offensive onslaught from the Dodgers. But how about that Yankees and Guardians game last night? I love playoff baseball, so I don't want to forget about what's going on in the world of baseball, even though the Royals are out of it. And I know we're getting ready for football, but man, last night was fun.
Yeah, it was wild. I was trying to keep up with it. We had the school did a drive-in movie night for the kids. So I was out there trying to keep up with that. Just, you know, keeping up with alerts and seeing it in the late home runs. I know I missed a dramatic one, and you had the star power come out in it, right? You had late home runs from Stanton and Judge and then Noel.
Noel's home run overshadowed anything that Judge and Stanton did. I mean, the Guardians were down to their final out. And you know, risked falling behind 3-0 to the Yankees. And, you know, Noel hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. That was a no-doubter. The bat flip was, you know, one of the best I've seen in quite some time, probably up there with Jose Bautista's a few years ago. And then the walk-off from David Fry in extras. Really gave the Guardians life. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I thought Noel was going to hit that out of the stadium.
Yeah,
but I always think he's going to hit it out of the stadium when he swings the bat. He's just a massive, massive human. That's what you hope for, and it keeps the Guardians alive.
I know why they call him Big Christmas, by the way. I know why that's his nickname now after watching him hit that home run.
Yeah, it took one of those games against the Royals. When I heard his nickname the first time, I think my instant reaction was that's the most perfect nickname I've ever heard in my life.
For sure. 100%. On top of that, and you know, a lot of times these people don't get a lot of attention unless it's bad attention or negative attention. Brian Anderson, the play-by-play guy, probably the best right now calling baseball. I mean, his home run calls last night in that game were incredible. Of course, everybody is focused on, at least in this area, Bob Costas calling the Royals games in that series in the ALDS. But Brian Anderson, man, he called a great game last night. He's been doing that for a while.
Yeah, he's good. They're all good. Costas was and I love Costas. That was weird in that series. I'm not sure what that was. But yeah, playoff baseball is fantastic, and that's what you hope for. You hope for that kind of drama. And we'll see if it continues, and we'll see if the Guardians climb back into that series, if that's the spark they needed. The other big news yesterday was Tony Bennett, which we'll get to that. In fact, we can do it here because I do want to dig a little deeper into the Chiefs and 49ers because we've got injury news there for the Chiefs that is of, I would say, pretty major significance. But as we're kind of hodgepodging these other stories, let's look at Tony Bennett here. So retires abruptly, steps away right before the season. You know, he's not an old guy. He's not a young guy. He's not an old guy. And I think anytime I hear that, my fear is somebody's sick. You mentioned that there have been some other coaches that think it's just the state of college athletics and all that stuff. And that got us talking last night. I don't look if these guys don't want, and I don't know why Bennett retired. Is he announcing that today?
Yeah, in fact, it came from, I mean, the school put out a notice last night that he would be announcing his retirement in a press conference today.
Yeah, we'll get the reason today. I hope it's not his health. If it's the state of college athletics, I simply say you had a nice run and I'm glad you're able to step aside, but it's time for you to step aside. Like, I don't have much time for the sympathy to the old guard who can, we've seen this now a number of times, who just doesn't want to deal with the changes. Like, good, bye. Like, to some degree, that's been a part of the problem for all these years. Like, you've made tens and tens of millions of dollars. And I'm not talking about Bennett specifically, but it brings up that conversation again. I mean, I might be talking about Bennett. We'll see what he says today. But like, you've made tens and tens of millions of dollars. Your athletes have made nothing above the table. If you can't get on board with that, it's time for you to go. Like, you need to go now, because this is changing and it doesn't do any good to complain about it. You can either get on board with it or you can step aside. Your time has passed. And so we'll see. But you know, as we get all the comparisons and all the, you know, the hand wringing for, Krzyzewski and we lost Boeheim and we lost, all these great coaches and Nick Saban stepped away. I'm like, guys, the playing field got leveled and they're old enough. They don't want to deal with it. Like, good for them for being able to do it. But I don't have any sympathy for that. Like, goodbye. Like, it's time for the players to earn. It's been too long anyway.
It's been confirmed by multiple sources that there is no health-related issue that relates to why Tony Bennett is stepping down. That's been reported by outlets like ESPN and NBC Sports. We'll find out for sure, I think, at Bennett's press conference today. So knowing that, first off, good that there's no health-related issue that's causing him to step down. It's interesting because he signed a contract extension that would tie him through the university through the 2030 season just a few months ago. And so, I mean, that's interesting timing, and it's for sure interesting knowing that it came just a couple of weeks before the season begins. So it makes me wonder if, something has happened with his program, with his team, with the way that, maybe he disagrees with the direction. And it could very well be overall in college athletics or college basketball, but really relating to his specific program. I don't know if it's NIL. I don't know if it has anything to do with the conference that they're in. I have no idea, but we'll, I'm sure, get more information on that a little bit later on today.
Yeah, look, it's that's what the thing, when I saw Bennett, I to me, it's like, there's no way it's that, because he could have done that after this year, right? Like, he just, like, at some point, you don't make that call, I don't think, a week before the season. So that's why that part of it, that didn't enter my head until you start reading and people are speculating that's what it is. And I'm like, well, why now though? Unless something has happened that has made it urgent, right? And that's what makes me think something else is in play with him. And I like Tony Bennett.
Like what?
His story of his, what's that?
Like what? You know, if something else is in play.
Something with the family. Who knows? It could be anything. Anything could happen at a snap that would make you say, okay, I've got to redirect my focus here. And I think that is perfectly okay. It doesn't make as much sense to me to go down the path of some of the other guys who just are like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I want to do, which, by the way, I got no problem with doing that, but I'm not going to sit here and blame college athletics for that. The game has changed. We all adapt or die. Tommy, you're in radio. Is radio different in 2024 than it was in 1994 and 2004?
Yeah, it's different than it was in 2023. I mean, it continues.
What would happen if you were just like, nah, this isn't the way I want to do it?
The world moves on. The world moves on. You know, and I am willing to maybe extend slightly more. I don't even want to call it sympathy, but slightly more. Maybe empathy would be the word to Tony Bennett. Not long term, not forever, but at least in the moment, like, hey, you had a lot of success at Virginia. You led them to a national title. And really, I guess maybe that empathy could be extended more towards the people who will directly have to deal with the fallout of this, and the supporters of the program, that have to pick up the pieces. Because remember, the way that it works now in college basketball or college athletics is that when a head coach leaves, the transfer portal opens for 30 days for the players that are in that program.
It's going to be brutal.
So there's going to be a domino effect.
Tony Bennett knows that, right? Yeah. That's why I don't think this is any of what we're talking about, because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he'd be like, yeah, the game's changed too much. I don't want to do this anymore, which we've seen from other big time coaches. And again, it's fine if you want to do that, but you're not going to catch like me, you know, just, oh, I can't believe we lost another like that. And that's not Tony Bennett here, I don't think, because it doesn't make sense, because he knows the transfer portal is going to open. He doesn't have any interest in this program. He cares so much about going through that type of hardship. Something has happened, I think, and we'll find out.
Wait, you don't think he cares that the program is going to be going through that?
Yes. That's why I think that it's not something so simple as, I just don't want to deal with college athletics anymore. I'm saying he does care about that. That's why I am a little nervous about what we're going to hear, because I'm afraid something has happened with him. And that was my initial fear from the beginning with health. And if it's not health, then what is it? It's something. It's not just nothing, I don't think. Again, we're all speculating on that. My point is, immediately you get a lot of people when they see this going down that other road of how college athletics is getting ruined. College athletics is in a time of change. There's always going to be messiness in a time of change. That doesn't mean the change is bad. It means you have to get to the end of the road. But if you can't embrace the change, the game has passed you by. Like, it just has.
And by the way, the speculation that has sort of swirled about potentially unhappiness with the landscape in college athletics and this new world of NIL and all of that, some of that comes from an interview that happened yesterday after the news broke. This interview was with Jim Boeheim, former head coach at Syracuse. He did an interview with Jeff Goodman about Tony Bennett, and Boeheim said, and I quote, "We lost one of our great coaches solely because of the landscape that is college basketball. Our leadership has to stop focusing on how much money we can make and find a way to get the student athletes on board with an answer for NIL." And so that has kind of been picked up and ran with as, you know, the deciding factor, the sole reason that Tony Bennett is walking away. We don't know that for sure. That's, you know, an opinion from Jim Boeheim, who also walked away from the game.
Yeah.
He was at the tail end of his career, you know, don't get me wrong, but that's clearly his opinion on what happened. Unless he has inside information and has directly spoken to Tony Bennett, we don't know that. Again, the press conference is at 11 o'clock today. I'm sure we'll know more then.
I wonder if Jim Boeheim ever, you know, held Syracuse hostage in a contract negotiation. You know what I mean? I wonder if he ever made it difficult on his administrators to get his salary paid and raise the money. And he wasn't one of the highest paid coaches. But I mean, come on now. Like, we need to the focus has changed. These coaches are some of the highest paid people on the planet. And they want the focus changed now when then there are other people trying to focus on how to pay other people in. Andrew does not like this conversation from me. He says, big words coming from a guy who's never worked in major college athletics. I've covered major college athletics for the last 20 years. Major brain drain, and will continue to see downsides from year to come. Am I supposed to have sympathy, Andrew? Like, am I supposed to, you know, oh my gosh, I just cannot believe these coaches and administrators who make 6 and 7 figures now have to work harder. Yeah, there's a lot that comes with that job. There's a lot that comes with any job. But guess what? If they don't want to do it, if Tony Bennett doesn't want to do it, if Jim Boeheim doesn't want to do it, somebody else does. And that's how the world works. And somebody else is going to step in and do the job. So, no, I get it. There's major brain drain. I get it. It's a pain in the butt right now to deal with NIL and the portal. Figure it out. That's not those players' problem. It's not that program's problem. It's not the fans' problem. You got to figure out how to work within the system. And is it perfect? Of course it's not perfect, but it's better than it was before. Absolutely, without question.
I also want to bring up that this is nothing new. I mean, yeah, the landscape is different with NIL and the portal and all of that, but coaches have been leaving college basketball and college football, for that matter, for years, for decades, to go to the professional ranks. You know, look at a guy like Billy Donovan, who won national titles at Florida. He got out of the college world and went to the NBA. And, you know, he's probably one of the outliers because not everybody has success. It's kind of rare when that happens. Calipari didn't have success in the NBA. On the football side, Nick Saban didn't have success in the on the NFL side. But I can understand why coaches would want to go and do that, even like a couple of decades ago before this whole landscape changed. Because like if you're going to coach at that level, you do get a little bit of an off season, right? Like you get to just kind of hang out and not have to worry. It's not a 12-month out of the year job where with recruiting in the college world and all of that. And then of course, now you add on the NIL part of it and the fact that you've got a portal and you've got to manage and put together a roster and rebuild basically every single year. It is a nonstop position now, right? And so I get why coaches, even if they're at the, you know, making at the, you know, a lot of money, would be like, man, I kind of want to go to the next level. I kind of want to go. Like, it's, we're basically in professional sports now anyway in college athletics. It does, I do agree. One thing that Andrew said that I do agree with him at the very end of his comment was that players should be paid, but it should be structured. And I think that that's a big issue that obviously we know. Like, there's not the structure that ultimately there needs to be. There's got to be an overhaul of all of that so everybody can be on the same page and understand the way that it all works. That hasn't happened yet. I can absolutely sympathize with coaches and understand how that could be frustrating because there isn't that overarching structure in place to make it all equitable, make it all, you know, basically work the way that it should.
I agree. That doesn't change the fact that if you don't want to deal with it, great, go do something else. But I'm not going to say it's ruining college athletics. College athletics will be better for it. And like, I know Andrew doesn't think I have any knowledge on this, as he points out in another comment. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been covering this. I've watched legendary coaches be fired for fronting the money for a player at a baseball game during a conference media day. Literally, that happened. Like, the system has been so jacked up and broken for so long, and a lot of these legends out there have jobbed the system. If you don't think Nick Saban's players ever got paid, ask Nick Saban's players that have all come out and said they got paid. Like, give me a break. The playing field got leveled on him. He didn't want to deal with it anymore. Good for him. He's earned the right. He's the GOAT. Go do something else. I don't have sympathy, though, for anybody that doesn't want to embrace this change, because we all have to embrace change in our careers, in our lives. And if we don't, and it happens all the time, happens in our industry, there's a lot of people that are like, yep, don't want to do that anymore, and they step away. I'm very happy for them that they're able to do that. We're not all so fortunate. Some of us have to adapt or we die and we get passed up. That's all this. Like, if you don't want to do it, there's guys like Bill Self, a part of the old guard, who thrive in this, who embrace this change. There's a, you know, like, more good for him.
I think he likes that it's all out in the open now, you know, that it's all, yeah. He doesn't have to hide it anymore, right? He doesn't have to try to operate, you know, behind the scenes and have, you know, middlemen to take care of. Like, it's all kind of out there and really above board now. And I think that, yeah, he's different, I think, than the other guys that we've mentioned, Coach K and Roy Williams and all of that, that, you know, they I think, preferred it to be in the shadows. Because they were good at that. I think they preferred that.
Yeah, look, and Rick says, and Rick always is team old school college. He says, Andrew's right. Neither of you care about the student in free education. Oh. You're right, Rick. We don't care about the student because we want the student to be compensated for their work. We don't care about the student. Right.
That's ridiculous. That, and I'll tell you, Rick, like, what I do care about and what I've cared about for a long time are these major institutions profiting millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on the backs of these students who get nothing. They get a free education. Sure, that's great. But they are being compensated in no way, shape, or form. I care about that. And I'm happy that now they're in a position to actually earn because they're putting their bodies on the line week in and week out, day after day, for them to actually be able to share in that a little bit. Yeah, I clearly don't care about them, Rick.
They get the privilege, Tommy, to go earn that university millions of dollars. That's a privilege.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's a privilege. We should all be so privileged to go work for free. None of us would do that, by the way, if the tables were turned. Does anybody think college football, Kansas State football's any worse this year because Avery Johnson's compensated?
Nope. And does anybody sit and watch any of these games now and don't enjoy it as much because they know that these players in some cases are making some money? Avery Johnson makes a lot of money to be the quarterback at Kansas State. Does anybody sit there and be like, you know what? I don't enjoy this game as much because I know right. that he's getting, that's ridiculous. That's crap.
Yeah, and so we'll see what, I really am nervous about the Tony Bennett thing because I'm afraid something's happened because it doesn't make a lot of sense what Jim Boeheim is speculating there. I hope that's not the case, but I kind of do hope it's the case because I don't want to hear that something bad's happened. I really like Tony Bennett. I think the story of the early bounce to a national championship the next year is one of the greatest stories in sports history as far as just the wild ends of that are insane. So we'll see. That's a really interesting fallout and ripple effect. You mentioned the players. That's a big time job. Like there's all kinds of layers and levels to that that we'll pay attention to. But we'll take your commentary on it. Hey, Andrew and Rick, we do appreciate the video comments, and I mean that genuinely. I love the discussion. I get fired up about this, as I know a lot of people do. But yeah, these things that I come at with this are 20 years worth of having this conversation just like this with lots of different coaches, administrators, fans, all kinds of people. So bring it. Let's do it. Let's get to it. Next, though, we're going to get to some more Chiefs-Niners talks because there's a big injury for the Chiefs. And I was already confused on what to do. We got to make these picks in a half hour. And I was already confused. Now I'm even more confused on what to do with Chiefs Niners. We'll talk about that. I want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Appreciate their support. It's all Brockton Caster, Max Power Producing. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do the thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Glad to be here with you on this Friday. Getting a little spicy in the first segment. I like it. It might get a little spicy as we make our way through the Chiefs. Tommy, Juju Smith-Schuster, limited in practice with a hamstring. What did we talk about yesterday? And it brings the same dang conversation to the forefront every single time. Do they need to do something? And will they do something? And I'm like, God, we just got done saying, well, what about behind Juju if something's happened? And boom, he's limited in practice with a hamstring. And hamstrings and wide receivers have a really bad history in the NFL. So it brings back this same thing. And it's, look, it's a problem in this game against the 49ers. For sure, it's a problem. It's a problem long term, though, again, because Juju's an older player. If he's got a hamstring injury, go ask Julio Jones or some of these guys that reach that age that start to deal with soft tissue injuries in their legs at wide receiver. Like, that stuff lingers. And so I don't know if this changes the likelihood at all that they do anything, but it does amplify my opinion that they need to do something.
Yeah, those two questions are vastly different. Should they do something and will they do something? They won't. I don't think this doesn't change my mind at all. I think the odds of a trade happening, and that's really what I mean specifically, an actual in-season trade, I don't see it happening. Whether or not they should, that's a completely different question.
Do you think they should? I know you think they won't. Do you think they should?
I think if it's the right move, I like Deontay Johnson. You and I have talked about it. I like him. I wouldn't have an issue whatsoever with them making some kind of trade if it made sense, if they didn't have to give up a bunch, if they were able to get somebody that, you know, had some control through next season. Like, I'd be okay with that in the right situation. My expectations would be tempered because usually it's really hard for a player coming in the middle of the season to have a big impact right away. But I'd be okay with that overall. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think what's probably more likely is if they're going to add anybody, it's going to be on the waiver wire. They're going to go and try to pick up a free agent who's just sitting out there and try to bring that person in. I have a hard time thinking that Brett Veach is going to give up any kind of capital to bring in anybody.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with that either. I think if they can find a more affordable option, they would really like to do that. I just don't know that that's going to be on the table. And if Juju's nicked up or banged up or has any significant injury, I don't think they get to be afforded that luxury. The reality is you're trying to win a third straight Super Bowl. The Chiefs are never in all-in mode, and I've never asked them this directly, so it's a little speculative. I would imagine there is a little more of that this year than normal because of trying to make that history and knowing the way that, you know, the Hall of Famers in this locker room are wired, that they really would like to have the third straight, maybe more than if this were just a normal season. But I don't know if that bleeds into Brett Veach's office. I mean, I have no idea. And so that's the piece of it that makes it really hard. Like, are they willing to go more all in? But the one thing I will say, like, Brett Veach does have a history of going all in for an individual season. Again, the Frank Clark trade, the Orlando Brown trade.
In the
offseason. Let's put it this way. He has a history of pushing it all in to solve a problem
in the offseason
in a very obvious, but we also traded for Kadarius Toney.
That wasn't pushing it all. I mean, that was, you know, in
the third round pick.
Yeah, but it was a project at the time, right? Like, it was somebody that hadn't reached anywhere close to the potential that he thought that
what
he
I'm
could.
Saying is he was willing to give up a third round pick in season.
I don't think he'd do it again. I don't think he would do
well,
that again.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It becomes more about the should than the will. And I think the will depends more on the players available, which we still, you know, in 2 weeks, that could vastly change. The should, though, to me, does change. The should amplifies now because the season that is happening, there is some bad fortune with injuries. And, you know, one day after we're racking our brains on what, like, then Juju's already nicked up. Like, it's kind of like the old Isaiah Pacheco thing. Like, is Pacheco really going to make it through a season with his running style? And not that that had anything to do with the way he was hurt this time, but the probability of that's pretty low.
Yeah. And did Brett Veach and the Chiefs go and trade for a running back after Pacheco went down?
That's not what I'm saying. No, they brought in Kareem Hunt. I'm saying is, like, we have to be real with Juju's likelihood to, like, let me put it this way. Can the Chiefs really afford to put all their eggs in the Juju Smith-Schuster basket?
No. No,
that's what it comes down to for me. As much as, like, if you told me he was going to be healthy every game the rest of the way, I would say, yes, they can. They can do that. But I don't think that's going to happen. And that's where the should amplifies for me. I don't think that the group they currently have, which I do think would be good enough if it needed to be, I don't think this group's staying all. I don't think they're going to stay healthy. I just don't. And so there has to be some sort of reinforcement. Right now, I don't know the player that's on the scrap heap. Marquez Valdes-Scantling does not make this team better.
No, it makes the team worse.
To me, that's if there's a player on the scrap heap, so to speak, then by all means, heck yeah, do that. I don't know who that player is right this second. So I think there are players that, you know, as Cooper Kupp returns this week and Puka Nacua is back, like, would the Rams be willing to entertain a DeMarcus Robinson trade? Probably not right now, but maybe in 2 weeks they would be. You can have those conversations now. Does Deontay Johnson make sense being a free agent next year? We love the player. We love the fit that way. But are you really going to do this if you're the Chiefs for a player that doesn't help you after this year when you have the Rashee Rice injury next? I doubt it. Adam Thielen's going to come back. Is he out there? And I know he's got a soft tissue injury too, which is a little risky, but I think the reality is we're not going to know. It feels like a deadline kind of deal to me because the Chiefs sort of need things to settle out a little bit. They need more options to become available to them before they decide to make a move. Davante Adams and Amari Cooper were very clear and obvious needs for teams that sort of had to make them if they wanted. Like, they didn't have much of a choice there, especially the Jets. And so those made sense to their timing. I don't think the Chiefs could lose the next two games, and I don't really care as far as it goes to what it'll take for them to win another Super Bowl. So I do think that patience will be the virtue for them, just in hopes that more players become available and you have more options to choose from.
Again, the question of whether or not they should and whether or not they will are extremely different. I really don't think, really everything could stay the same between now and the trade deadline, and we could have uncertainty about Juju's status, not only this week, but in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. And I just don't think that there's going to be a move made. I really believe that what we'll end up seeing is if there is depth needed, they will bump players up in the depth chart. To me, it means that you probably are going to see more Justin Watson. You're probably going to see more Sky Moore. You're going to see both of those guys probably playing more. You've got, you know, probably something happening with the practice squad in that regard. And then maybe somebody from the free agent pool that has not been signed yet this season. And I don't think, honestly, I'm not excited about hardly any of them that are out there right now. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling would not be good.
Richie James is also out there. Bring back Richie James before you bring back Marquez Valdes-Scantling if you want a retread.
If you wanted a name, you know, I guess a name, not necessarily somebody that can make an impact, Chase Claypool is out there. Hunter Renfrow is out there.
Renfrow is a stylistic fit. I don't know why he's unsigned, though, and that makes me curious that he's not physically 100%, because Renfrow makes sense stylistically. He could be a target monster if you need him to be. Now, he's a slot guy. I don't think Claypool's a deep shot guy. I don't think he helps you. He's kind of like Valdes-Scantling. They're just worse at what Xavier Worthy does. So,
and don't you think though? And again, this is only in relation to what I think and what, you know, overall what Brett Veach typically likes to do and the way that what his MO is, the way that he approaches things. I think that if you're presenting him the option of going and trading with the team and having to figure out cap space and figure out what the return to that other team is going to be, draft picks, whatever. And then if it's in the case of like a guy like Deontay Johnson, who's a free agent, and you might have to then have to figure out, can you get him renewed for next season? But then the other option is, hey, there are a couple of guys out here that are free agents that you can sign for the league minimum and just bring them in, and they can be a stopgap and they can help fill a spot on the depth chart. What do you think a guy like Brett Veach is going to be more likely to do? Probably that.
Correct. You do have the next year thing to factor in. That's why Deontay John, and I don't know, like, there are, of course, variables in there too. What is Deontay Johnson's capacity to adapt within an offense quickly? I don't know. Like, what's his, what is it? What is that on the old football video games? What's his awareness rating? Like, I don't know. I don't know. We'd have to see. And those are the things you got to lean into your scouts for and all that kind of stuff. I would tell you that Brett Veach is not scared to be wrong. He's not scared to take a risk. Doesn't mean he's going to. Doesn't mean he has to. He's just not scared to. And the team may find themselves in a great deal of need soon. This weekend's a great test, though. Like, if Juju can't play and they beat the Niners still, like, maybe we just who cares, right? At that point, just run out whatever you want, and it's not that big a deal, and run 9 tight ends out there. But this may alter. I don't know what to do in our picks. I don't know what to do in our picks. But we're going to do those in the next hour, and it's going to be crazy. Let's take one more break here because we got Shocker Media Day was yesterday. A little bit of an update from Paul Mills on Mate and what's happening. I'm telling you, the vibes continue to be really, really good around Shocker basketball. It's good. IHOP Hotline's open for you. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. That's at 869-1240. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Stay tuned for that. Shocker Media Day yesterday. Real quick, Tommy, we want the update on Mate. We don't get the update on Mate that we want, only that Paul Mills is still optimistic that they'll get some news and they'll like the news that they get. They don't. The thing is the timing. It's with the NCAA. Like, you just don't know when, right? All we keep hearing, and TJ Cleland will be in next 7 to help pick football games, but he came back from that and said the same thing. Like, you can just tell from the coaches, from players, that they're excited about him. But it's not just him. Like, there is a buzz there inside that program that I think everybody is bullish. I am definitely that way. I think this is a team that should be able to and probably will compete for a league title. I'm getting pretty fired up about Shocker basketball. I am. And I really hope it all comes together because it feels like it has the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's really that opportunity with the newcomers that have come into the program, with the experience that they have, and you know, just being able to really have a complete and cohesive unit. And I think we can all admit, looking at a year ago, that really wasn't in place. There were pieces of it, but it didn't all come together, and it wasn't able to be executed.
Well, and
at a
eligibility
high level
stuff was a part of that. It was, right? Like, waiting on that and trying. And so I don't like seeing that again, but I will talk to Paul Mills for 5 seconds, and you can understand it's a next level, like, basketball brain, right? And the things that they're doing. Time with just that, you know, is going to be a good thing, right? Just another, all of that returning experience with some new talent that on paper does appear to fill some needs for them in a league that appears to be, we'll call it, down from a year ago. I think that's fair, at least of what we know now on the expectations coming in versus what we had with UAB and Memphis last year and all these things. And so I think the opportunity is right there, and I cannot wait for it. I cannot wait. And I really, really, really hope that this Croatian sensation is able to join the team and be what you can. Nobody wants to, like, outright say it, but I'm telling you, read between the lines on what you're hearing from coaches and players, and they're really excited about this guy. So we just wait and see, and they wait right there with us.
And look, it's not just inside the program or even here locally. I mean, you know, all you have to do is take a look at the preseason polls, and we know polls are polls, especially, you know, before a season starts. But the other coaches in the league, they, I think, are expecting a step up from Wichita State this coming season as opposed to last year. And so I think that all of that you can feed into a collective sense of optimism, I think, entering into this season, and that's good.
I totally agree. Totally agree. The coaches see it, and I think coaches' polls are valuable because they at least know something about the players coming in and out. All right, we'll take a quick break when we come back. Football picks, everybody. Get ready. Tommy has the receipts for Jab this week, and we will sort through that. I don't think those are good to me this week. I don't remember, but I don't think they are. And at some point, got to make a decision on Chiefs-Niners. I guess now or never, a little bit. We'll make those picks. College football, NFL football, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage join us next to do it. Don't go away.
In-
and Odyssey Sports Station. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.